Hi there. Welcome to the Agency Toolkit Podcast, a podcast where we discuss stories, strategies, and techniques to help you build a successful and profitable digital marketing agency. Our episodes contain inspiring conversations with CEOs and entrepreneurs and leave you with actionable tips, ideas, and strategies you can implement into your business today. We are happy to have you with us. So grab a cup of coffee, sit back, and get inspired.
Hello, and thank you for tuning into another episode of the Agency Toolkit. I am your host, Julia McLaughlin. This episode is sponsored by ReviewRobin, a review management software for marketing agencies to help you guys get your clients more positive reviews. You can check that out at getreviewrobin.com. Now, our guest today is Daniel Fung of Full Books Marketing, and today we're going to be discussing how to double your revenue without doing any extra work. Daniel is a marketing entrepreneur and agency owner. He helps personalities and brands scale their businesses and outreach through PR, social growth, and business consulting. In his agency, he helps brands and personalities scale up their businesses through the use of both innovative and controversial marketing methods. Thank you so much for joining us today, Daniel.
Julia, thank you so much for having me on.
Let's dive into a couple of questions so that we can get to know you a little bit. So tell our listeners, where are you tuning in from today?
I'm from Sydney, Australia. So I think a lot of you know that as the other side, the upside is downside of the world.
Yes.
But we are also from the future because our time zone is usually ahead of everyone else.
Yes.
And I could have warned everyone about a lot of things, but we chose not to.
What time is it there right now?
It's actually 6 a.m. for me on a Saturday.
Oh, okay. Wow. Yeah. It's 2 o'clock in the afternoon here. Interesting. And then, so what gets you out of bed in the morning? What really motivates and inspires you?
What really motivates and inspires me, I reckon, is my parents. So growing up, we weren't well off at all. We didn't have a lot of money. My parents were both refugees. They ran from Vietnam to Australia to try to give myself and my brothers a better start, a better opportunity at life.
Wow.
And growing up, I didn't have much, right? I always had holes in my clothes, holes in my shoes, and I was always teased for it, bullied at school for it. I couldn't hang out with the other kids because I couldn't afford ice cream like they did.
Mm-hmm.
And I just wasn't allowed to hang out with them. I was a turtle of a kid. I would always complain about why couldn't we have things? Why couldn't I have new toys, clothes? Why couldn't I hang or go to the movies with other kids? And yeah. One day I woke up earlier than I did normal. Because normally as a school kid, you just sleep in it as far as you could and just go to school. But one day I woke up like 5 a.m. in the morning and I called my dad before he went to work that morning. And on the table, he had 2 slices of bread and a bottle of tomato sauce. I think you guys call it ketchup.
Yeah.
And all he did was swirl it on the bread, closed up those 2 slices of bread, and he put that into his lunch bag. And that's when I realized that I thought I had it hard, but the sacrifices my parents was making just to give us what we had at that moment of time was so much bigger. And they never talked about it, right? They just took my annoying little comments and just went with it.
Yeah.
That was when it really drove home to me that I wanted to help others in their own companies increase how much they earn so they don't go through the same things as I did as a kid. And that also gets me up in the morning because I don't want the same for my own family either.
Yeah. Wow. That's a super inspiring story. It's, it's really cool when you can channel that, you know, hardship that you've been through and just make a positive change in your life and then channel it to do good for other people. So that's super inspiring. That's inspiring to other people as well.
Yeah, 100%. And I think it always comes back to your reason why you do things. It might be hard to realize or really know, but if you sit down and think about why you do things, more than often you'll find a time in your life where something happened to you to shape your values in that point of time.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Having that why is so powerful in just motivating you. So
yeah,
tell us, how did you get into digital marketing?
That's a pretty good question. So I started in dental, and in Australia, we're paid pretty well in dental. It's one of the top earning jobs here.
Yeah.
I started in dental, out of dental school in huge debt, and I started in a new clinic that offered a very high commission rate, which is unheard of for anyone that graduated fresh. But I had no patience. So I was just sitting in the clinic, no one was coming in, and I was like, man, I'm ready to help people. I've spent the past years studying to learn how to help people, and I'm ready, but no one was coming in.
Yeah.
And
so you were qualified. There, you were you a dentist or a dental hygienist? What were you qualified
for? I was a dental hygienist, a dental therapist here. So we kind of do everything besides pulling out teeth, and that was pretty much it.
Gotcha. Okay.
So I was just sitting there doing nothing, and I was like, okay, how do we get people in? And that's when I dove down a weird rabbit hole marketing, just trying stuff to see what worked. And yeah. It became interesting because I built a brand around myself where I treated anxious kids and adults, those who weren't or didn't like going to the dentist and didn't go for like 30, 40 years because of bad experiences or whatever. Mm-hmm. They would see my ads, my marketing, my social media, and that would trigger a thought in their mind where dental would be okay and they'll give it another shot. Mm-hmm. And when these people came in, they were so grateful that they either saw my ad or my social media, because they literally told me that if they hadn't saw it, they would have left it off for another 20, 30 years. And these people, they were too afraid to smile. They were uncomfortable in social situations because of their smile, and they were just super withdrawn.
Yeah. Right?
And you could tell just by talking with them, they would cover their mouths, they would try to talk, and whenever they laughed, they wouldn't laugh with a smile. Mm-hmm. Right? As you treated them and transformed their smiles, you would see that confidence come back, and they were so grateful for it.
That's so cool.
Yeah, and that was really the turning point for me, because it showed me how powerful marketing could be in mm-hmm. helping more people and getting your message out, if you have a good message, if that kind of makes sense. And that's kind of where I went with that. It's a weird start, but that is kind of where marketing started for me.
That's so interesting. I love that story. It's really unique. And then, so why did you start Full Books Marketing?
So yeah, that does come back to, how I was growing up again. So I didn't want any other families to go through what I did with feud situations, financial situations, because a lot of the time we couldn't even afford meat. Oftentimes we'd eat fruit and rice, or we'll just cook vegetables in water and just pour that on top of rice. And even though I do have a lot of fun memories of my family, I feel like it'd be so much easier on the entire family and my parents if we just had a lot more revenue coming in.
Yeah, definitely. Okay. Well, that's really inspiring. And then, so what do you love most about running your agency? Is it that you're able to, you know, make such a positive difference on these businesses and help them?
We mainly specialize in personal branding. So kind of like taking a nobody and turning them into a somebody. So that's kind of like TV interviews, getting them verified on social media, getting on press like Cosmopolitan, Forbes, Vogue and stuff.
Gotcha.
And just seeing how quickly you can build someone's brand is insane.
That's interesting.
Yeah, if you were to, like, most of my clients, if I were to talk to them, they would have, say they were a singer or something, right? So in the singing niche. And I would ask them, what do you think the difference between yourself and someone you look up to, say like Taylor Swift or something, right? Mm-hmm. And most of the time they both can sing. They both have beautiful voices. One has a personal brand, a very strong personal brand, and the other doesn't. Mm-hmm. And that's literally it, right? Yeah. Taylor Swift is leveraging her personal brand to get a deal. She would have done that at the very beginning too. And my client isn't. So being able to kind of give that client that so they can leverage that is so powerful, and it's just amazing.
Yeah, that's so cool. Yeah, that's really interesting. And then, so what are the biggest challenges that you encounter on a day-to-day basis?
For myself, my agency is kind of running itself at the moment. So I've kind of set it up in a way where I have a lot of systems running. A lot of people have kind of replaced my role there. So the challenges for me is pretty much I pretty much grinded every day. I worked like long hours like any other entrepreneur does. And now that that huge chunk of commitment's out of my life, somewhat, I still work like 1 or 2 days a week. I get bored. I get really bored. So now it's kind of me trying to figure out, okay, how do I bring more value back to the world? Because I have time to do that. If that makes sense.
So are you thinking more like volunteer work, like getting involved that way, or another venture? What are you thinking?
So yeah, something like that. I kind of started a podcast where we kind of focus on our hardships we've gone through to get to success. So you try to kind of like help other people in the same situations.
Oh, that's very cool.
Yeah, awesome. Yeah, that's kind of my thing I'm trying to pursue at the moment with that.
That's awesome. If you had one growth tip, and this might actually segue really nicely into our topic that we're going to discuss today, I'm not sure. But if you had one growth tip that you could share with any up and coming agency owners who are just starting out, what would that be?
It's a good question. First off, I want to say I really respect everyone listening at the moment, because I'm assuming you guys are agency owners or thinking of being one, but the fact that you're tuning in is the fact that you are striving to be better and you are different from the rest of the crowd, right? Other agency owners who don't really focus on bettering themselves or personal development, they might be more comfortable watching Netflix all day, and that's totally fine. But you guys are more driven and you guys are a totally different breed, and I really love that about you guys. In terms of what has really impacted my business and what I would want or you guys to know is, we all, when we start out, we all have competitors, right? And we all want to compete against them. Mm-hmm. But instead of competing with them, how about we work with them instead? So let's just try a little bit of a thought experiment here. We've all probably had, or you'll probably encounter times where clients would ask if you offered certain services, right? Most of us start out as small agencies. You offer ads, social media management, SEO, stuff like that.
Yeah.
And if a client was to ask, for myself, it was publications, publishing a book, I would just say no, because I couldn't, right?
Yeah.
Being able to publish a book, you'd have to hire a new team. You have to onboard a bunch of people. You have to invest your money. And you just started, so you've got no capital to work with. And you don't know how good your quality would be. And you've got no personal branding, and so on. So it was just a straight no. But instead of saying no, how about you say yes, and then you find someone who can fulfill that service, right? Mm-hmm. Whether it be your competitor and you start working with them, or someone totally different. And being that person that can make that either referral, or some people even work with white labeling their own services. So branding it under your company and fulfilling it under your company's logos. Mm-hmm. Being able to be that problem solver, now you've brought more value to your client, which means more retention from them in the long run. And also, most of the time, you can negotiate referral commissions, right? Usually it's 20%. So
yeah.
For myself, in regards to publishing, that was an $80,000 package for the client. And the 20% referral was pretty much $16,000 just for sending them to someone and making that connection. And
so cool.
Just being able to do that allowed me to have a lot more capital to reinvest into my own business at the very beginning, which is very important for our growth there. Also, that $80,000 package is a very good package. So the client came back and they were pretty much amazed, and they just kept sending more referrals to us. So being able to partner with other companies is a very, very important thing at the beginning. And this isn't just publishing. You do services in marketing that you don't fulfill yourself. Mm-hmm. So for ourselves, that would have been, Oh, that was weird.
No, it's all good.
So for ourselves, not a lot of people do social media verification, so getting the blue tick for people. So that is something we partner with a lot of agencies, and they do it through us. So we white label to them, and they will offer their clients social media verification. We fulfill that service. Yeah, exactly, under their brand. So now you look like a more polished and bigger company. Mm-hmm. And as long as you really, really choose wisely who you choose to work with, then almost always the end result will be a great result and the clients are super happy there.
That's so interesting. And then, so when you are, you know, hiring other agencies to take on white label services, are they dealing with your clients, or how does that working relationship work?
Yeah. Good question there. So if you and I were to go with a white label agreement, let's say it's social media verification. So you would be dealing with the client yourself, right? The only time we communicate is to get the service fulfilled for you. So you just tell me, like, I have this client here. Can you get it verified for me? And you just send me the money. Your wholesale rate, sorry. So you just send me the wholesale rate and I'll get it fulfilled. And then you charge the client the retail rates. All right. Gotcha. And then you're dealing with the client. So that means your cut would be a little bit less. Sorry, mm-hmm. Your cut will be more because you have to deal with the client, right? So with white label partnerships, you want to do bigger cut towards the actual agency and the fulfillment person gets a smaller cut, right? Whereas referrals would be the other way. So that's when you do a 80-20 kind of cut there because the agency is still dealing with the client. That kind of makes sense.
Yes. Right. So whoever is dealing with the client would have a little bit of a higher cut.
Yeah. Cause I got to manage them.
Exactly. Yes. Okay. So, what are some other ways that working with a white label partner can benefit an agency owner, and specifically a new agency owner?
Yeah. So apart from the revenue and being able to bring more value to your clients, we all start out with outbounding leads. Sorry. So you'd either kind of try to send messages or do whatever to get leads coming in. Mm-hmm. And you probably know how much of a headache that could be because one, you're reaching out cold to people. Mm-hmm. When people come in, jump on sales calls, they're very cold. Oftentimes they're not very qualified either. Mm-hmm. And a lot of the times you're dealing with a smaller budget there too. With being able to work with other companies, if you have a certain service yourself that is quite unique to you, then that company could be referring stuff to you. And now over time, you're dealing more with inbound leads, people coming into you from referrals. So They'll usually already be qualified to the budget you work with. And just having that word of mouth referral from someone else already frames you a lot higher and the sales calls go a lot easier there. Besides that, the fact that you're giving more value to your own clients and the fact that you solve so many problems with them, say it was publishing for myself, now they are telling their friends. And you could also do referral bonuses with them. I mean, why not? Right?
Yeah. Interesting.
So you still have a 20% referral bonus for them. And now all your clients are talking about you to their friends. And if you land a client with a bigger budget, say $100,000 budget, more than likely their friends will be within that same budget level, right? Mm-hmm. So you're dealing with a lot bigger packages. Someone's referring you or someone's referring their friend to you and you're framed a lot higher. So it becomes a really nice kind of cycle to be in if you really build your network like here. Mm-hmm. And it's very, very easy to scale because now you don't have to really focus or think about okay, how do I fill up my pipeline? And how do I get more sales calls coming in?
That's really interesting. So it's a bit of a flywheel effect there. So you are, because you're able to offer so many services, you're able to have a higher client retention rate, which boosts it, which results in more referrals, filling up that pipeline, having more customers. That's interesting.
Yeah. And now you're so focused on bringing more value to your clients. Now, instead of being focused on how to get more clients in, and it just kind of keeps growing on itself. And I think it's really great.
Yeah, I think that's really clever. I like that. And are there any drawbacks or challenges to working with a white label agency partner?
Drawbacks would be really managing your relationships and your expectations, right? So if you imagine you'd have a lot of partnerships or white labeling joint ventures, there's a lot of people you got to remember, right? And for myself, my memory is terrible. And this is kind of something I learned from dental. I keep kind of files on everyone. So I remember the little things about them, their hobbies and stuff like that. So to really maintain their rapport with people. And also, you just keep like a file about their services too, in case you do need to refer someone to them. So you know exactly what is there. Because you will be managing a lot of partnerships if you keep using this kind of method to grow. And oftentimes you don't ever want to forget anything about the person, because that is just not a very good way to maintain your relationships in these partnerships.
Definitely.
Besides that, the expectations in terms of time frames and stuff, because if you're ever late on fulfilling one of your services, that means the person you're partnered with, so the front end agency, probably promised a certain time frame to their clients, right? So if you lose that communication, you don't let them know that you're running late, then it just gets worse down the track.
Yeah, I can see that. Okay, that's interesting. And then, so do you have any specific success stories you're able to reference about how agencies can scale with using a white label partner?
A lot of it is privatized on my contracts with them, but some of it.
Only something that you're able to disclose.
I'll send to the names. I have a few joint ventures, joint partners that literally don't work a day of their lives. They hire kind of like an assistant to manage the clients, and they pretty much just work on white labeling through my own agency. So they are living a great life because they don't have to work a day.
Yeah.
And yeah, they're just working for me. It's not only agencies too. So some of my referrals, partners who refer to me are the same. They refer packages to me. If it's a $100,000 package, they get $10,000.
Yeah.
And they're pretty much just living off that.
That's so cool.
Besides that, some agencies who fulfill through myself and my team are doing pretty well. Some of them are working with really, really high end clients and celebrities and stuff, and I'm just sitting there like, man, this is awesome. Even though it's not my face there and my friend there, we're still doing the services for these particular celebrities, and it's crazy.
Well, that's so interesting. So what have been some learning lessons that you've taken along the way from working with white label partners or being a white label partner yourself?
Yeah, I think it really does come back to two things: managing your relationships with your partners and fulfilling a great service, right? Because if you have a shitty service, no one's ever going to want to come back to you.
Yeah, exactly. That's very true. So is there anything else you would like to add on the topic of working with white label partners?
I think the main thing is just try to be resourceful anytime someone needs something off you, right? So be the problem solver and be the person who kind of connects people and solves people's problems. Because if you build your reputation around that, people will always come back to you to solve their problems, regardless of what it is, right? You'll be the first point of contact there. And you just bring so much more value to your own network.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a great tip. It's true. When you're able to just make people's lives a little bit easier and you get known for being that way, it's such a positive thing.
Yeah, and the money is just a side bonus of that. The more value you can bring to people and the more you can help people in the world, money just comes with that.
Yeah, very true. So where do you see Full Books Marketing in 5 years' time?
Probably just keep going, to be honest.
You're just going to keep doing what you're doing.
Yeah, it's just going to keep doing what it's doing. We are very referral based, and it's kind of nice to be able to help smaller agencies too, because mm-hmm. when you're a small agency, you only offer SEO, or if you're just a solopreneur and you just offer one service like SEO, it's hard. It can be hard to get clients because when you reach out cold to people, you sound like every other message you get in your Instagram DMs or your Facebook messages or your emails or whatever, because a lot of people out there do offer these services, right? And mm-hmm. oftentimes people would get burnt by these people and they never want to do it again. But yeah. when you say things like you offer influencer marketing with a network that can connect you with Taylor Swift, Post Malone, or you offer TV interviews on Fox, CBN for the US and stuff like that, you are positioned at a lot. You're positioned as a very big marketing agency there. So
yeah.
being able to give that to a smaller agency is so powerful because now you give them the confidence in their own work mm-hmm. and they close a lot more clients at the beginning. So now they can focus on scaling their business. So I've seen this with a lot of my the white label agencies that work with myself mm-hmm. and fulfill myself.
Yeah. Well, that's so cool. I love that. Well, we are getting ready to wrap up here shortly, but first we have the Fast Five, which are 5 rapid fire questions. So what is a book you've read that's made an impact on you?
This will be a hard one because I do love my books. It's a funny looking book. It is this tiny little red book called The Little Red Book of Sales. I think it's called.
I thought you were going to say Go Giver because that also is a little red book. And
yeah,
I feel like that's a book you would really enjoy if you haven't read it.
Go Giver. Who's that one by?
I'm not sure off the top of my head, but it's a super short, super beneficial read. It's all about delivering value. You would love it.
Oh, sounds like I read it.
Literally, I was positive you were going to say it.
Yeah. So The Little Red Book of Sales by Terry Slattery. So when I first started out and I thought sales was all about being that slick, silver-tongued, manipulative dude that knew what to say to kind of manipulate people into sales, right? Because you see that with like the Wolf of Wall Street, Jordan Belfort, how he sells and stuff. That is the most terrible way you can ever do sales.
It's so old.
It is school. The most terrible way.
Yeah.
And it sucks because that's what a lot of people think, right? Used car dealer, salesman, and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Terry Slattery is an amazing salesperson. And this really small, short book is pretty much all gold.
Awesome.
And he really reframes your mind to think about sales in a different way. You are trying to solve people's problems and you are working with their emotions, right? So being the problem solver is a lot better way of being a salesperson. I'm going to name 2 actually, because there's another one that was like completely awesome.
Okay.
Influence by Robert Cialdini. This is a must read along with The Little Red Book. It's a longer one, but it covers pretty much all the psychology behind marketing, sales, and why everyone does certain things. When you finish reading the book, you will see the world in a different way because every single ad you see in the street, every single thing that people say to you, you will see why they do it, right? And you'll really notice the psychology behind it. And it gets you thinking in a very different way.
Yeah. Oh, I love that. And you know, that's on my reading list. My business partner, he swears by that book, and he literally in the back of his Zoom call, he props it up. Like it's like right behind him.
The Bible.
And he puts that one book on display.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's awesome that you brought that up.
And then, amazing.
So what does your morning routine look like?
Good question. I get up at 5. Right. Everyone else is asleep. No one bothers me. I get on kind of like an exercise bike because I hate running. Just to get a little bit of blood flowing. I find I really feel the hormone boost that it gives you. It's really weird. Like I feel totally different if I do like even just 10 minutes in the morning. Or yeah, just like easy running.
Oh yeah.
It's a good thing. 'Cause I sit on my ass on chair all day.
Yeah.
Besides that, I would hop on my journal after I'll write what I'm grateful for. So I'll do at least 3 things. And these could be little things. Like a lot of times I'm just grateful for having coffee at home, grateful for having water, grateful for having fresh air to breathe in.
Yeah.
Right. And doing that every day kind of reframes your mind to kind of see things differently. You're a lot more grateful for the things that happens around you.
Yeah.
And you're a lot more of a positive person. I write down my identity for the day. So kind of 3 things I want to be. A lot of the times it's, I'm going to be a factory. So kind of really like pumping out all my tasks for the day, and stuff like that. I would write down my short-term goals and long-term goals just to remind myself why I'm doing things and the bigger picture.
Yep.
Because a lot of times we'll forget. And I write down the things I call, I'd write down 2 big, hairy, audacious goals, all right? Because anytime we have a to-do list, there are always going to be two things that you do not want to do and you will procrastinate like crazy just to not do them.
Yeah.
And it just always gets pushed on the back and it ends up on your next day's to-do list and the next day's to-do list and it just never gets done, right?
Yeah.
These 2 things are almost always the most important things you must do. And the things that will kind of boost you towards your future goals most. All right. So
yeah,
those 2 things are kind of my non-negotiable goals that I get done straight away in the morning, no matter what the rest of the day looks like. Right. Because awesome. If you complete those 2, then if I don't complete the rest of my to-do list, I'm happy that day because I did what I needed to do most there.
Yeah. You focus on the things that are going to move the needle.
Hmm.
Yeah, I love that.
Apart from that, yeah, go for it.
Yeah, it's so important to focus on the most important things and prioritize your time accordingly, I think.
Yeah. Apart from that, I just work on myself for like an hour and then like personal development stuff, do whatever there. And then I'll start on the business after that.
Awesome. I love that. That's a great morning routine. Love it. And is there a CEO that you follow or study?
Not that's a hard one because I don't really sit on social media a lot. There's not a lot of people I do follow besides my joint ventures and partners. I do follow them just to keep up to date with what their life is looking like and how I can bring value to them.
Yeah.
But I guess at the start it would have been probably Gary Vee for me because I read one of his books very early on and it kind of opened my eyes to where if you don't have something, you can work your ass towards it to get it. If that kind of makes sense.
Yeah, that's awesome. And then what is your favorite online tool?
This will be a different one. I'm going to say WhatsApp. I don't know if everyone uses WhatsApp in their countries. It's kind of like Facebook Messenger.
Yep.
One of those messaging apps.
Canada.
Awesome. that's great. So you know exactly what I'm talking about. With WhatsApp, it's a very casual thing because you use it to talk to your mates, right? Or your friends.
Yeah.
Within my own company, I think it's a really good way to boost work culture. And because we just post banter in our groups, right? And that really builds the bonds with the workers. For our more formal communications, we just use Slack. So anytime we need to either talk more formally, we just use Slack as a messenger.
Okay. Okay. So you use WhatsApp for as a more informal, just for banter, for it to have a more fun conversation. Okay. Yeah. Very, very cool.
Yeah.
Nice. And then last question, what's one thing you wish you had known when you began your career?
I guess it just wraps up on everything I've talked about today. So being resourceful is probably, in my eyes, one of the most important things. You don't have to have the resource yourself to be resourceful, right? You don't have to have the capital to start a new company or venture, right? You can look for investors. You don't have to offer a certain service to be able to offer that certain service. You can look for someone that does. You don't have to have the solution to a problem that someone presents you with. You can look for someone that does. You don't have to be good at SEO and ads and social media management. You look for someone that does and you hire them. So why not be resourceful with everything else you do?
Yeah, I love that. It's such a great tip. Well, thank you so much for joining us today, Daniel. It was a pleasure having you with us, and I really appreciate you joining us.
Thank you so much, Julia. I had a lot of time here, and I hope all of you at least implement one thing you've learned from today.
Yes.
That's all it will take.
Yes. Love it. It's a great challenge.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of the Agency Toolkit. We hope you've learned something new that you can implement into your agency today. If you liked this episode, please subscribe to our podcast, and we'll see you next time.